Well, hey, and welcome back to day 21 of 30X Life. Today we're going to look at parenting, and whether you got kids or not, parenting's a great skill to learn and to understand. One day you may have kids, you might not have now. Now, as most of you're probably very well aware, in our house we have 5 kids, and parenting's an interesting one. And again, it's like the subjects of relationship and friendship. It's a subject that people don't often study or learn about, and therefore they just do it by trial and error. And it's one of the more interesting things is we can learn a lot about parenting and we can learn how to be much better parents. I still remember, you know, when the kids were first born, my first daughter, and it was like, okay, I only had brothers. What am I going to do with a daughter? I don't understand this. So I went and read Meg Whitman's book on, you know, being how to be a great dad for daughters and strong fathers, strong daughters. And it was like, dang, yeah, I needed to read that. And then I read some more. And then when my wife told me that, hey, we're having twins, after I got over the shock, I thought, hang on, I need to go and buy a few books. I think I remember jumping on Amazon and buying the first 6 books on how to raise twins. I had no idea what to do with twins. How is that different to singles and all of that sort of stuff? And I think it's just the philosophy that if we're going to be a parent, then we need to learn how to be a parent. I think that's sort of the major part of it, how to be a good parent. I guess anyone can sort of stand by and make sure they don't die, but being a good parent is a different thing. So let's start off with understanding that there's been plenty of research on how to be a great parent, and there's multiple stages in that. So if we just start by understanding the stages of parenting, and the first stage is that of if you go to the 6 stages of parenting, Ellen Galinsky wrote a great book on this subject. And what she says is where you start is even when you know you're pregnant or when you know you're going to be pregnant, you start in what they call the image-making phase. And it's where you start thinking about what type of parent do I want to be? What sort of parent? How well do I want to parent, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people, you know, don't really put a lot of energy and effort into that. And maybe if you got kids now and you didn't, then maybe it's a good time to go back and say, what type of parent do I want to be from here onwards? What type of parent do I want to be? What's a 30X parent look like? And that sort of question. Stage 2 is where you become a nurturer. And that's where you've got the baby. And, you know, now reality kicks in. I love chatting with first-time parents, and they, you know, this is how I'm going to be as a parent. This is all the things I want to do, and so on and so forth. And you're like, okay, that sounds great. You know, not going to let the baby impact anything, not going to do it. Well, when you get to the nurturing phase, the reality starts to kick in. Your lack of sleep kicks in, all that stuff, and you start deciding, okay, what type of parent am I going to be in reality now? You know, where do I want to be with that? You're really in nurturing phase with the baby, keeping alive, all that sort of thing. Then we move into, once the baby's sort of 2-3 years old, you have to move into the authority phase. And that's where they're a toddler, you start putting rules in place. And kids love rules, I got to tell you that. They do, while they don't love them, they do love having them. The structure and support that rules give them makes it easier for them to make decisions. So I think that authority phase is a very strong one as the kids get to sort of 3 years old and upwards. As they get into schooling more, 5, 6, 7, 8 onwards, you enter what Galinsky called the interpreting phase, where you're helping them interpret what's going on in the world. You're helping them understand, you know, what is it that we're looking for? How does this relate to that? And it's really an interpretive phase of giving them, I guess, context is probably the best word, where the kid doesn't really understand something. You try and give them context of it. You get a lot of the whys and how comes and a lot of the questioning level at this. It's really how you see the world or helping them how to see the world from that. As they move into teenage, you move into the interdependent phase. And it's crazy to me, a lot of parents are like, you know, my teenagers are so hard and this and that. No. Teenage years are the greatest years. They're learning to be independent. They're learning what they feel and what they think. And that's a phenomenal aspect of it. And it's a matter of then getting them through to stage 6, as Galinsky calls it, of departure. You know, when they leave for college and all of those sorts of things. If we look at other, you know, there's type growth phases. There's different groups that feel different things. And you know, in the beginning, they call that first phase, instead of the authority, they call it the commander phase. And then the interpreting phase they call the coach phase. And if you start using that languaging, you start thinking, okay, so I'm in command in the beginning. No, you do this. Yes, that. Do that. You know, it's command. Then it becomes more coaching of, well, what do you think? How do you do? Et cetera. You know, you're coaching them into how to work within the world. Then when they hit that teenage years, you become more of a counselor. You know, you're listening, you're understanding more, and giving them more a bit of the, you know, that interdependence allows you to be more of a guidance counselor, I guess, is probably more of the thing. We're guiding them and counseling them on how the world works and which direction and what sort of thoughts. And then finally, we become the consultant. You know, your kid goes off to college. You become more of a consultant at that point as to, you know, you're the person that they call and ask for advice type thing. And hopefully, if you've done good in raising the child and you've kept a good, strong relationship, then what's happened is you come out that other end as that position. My world, I know they've sort of said 6 levels and 4 levels and all that sort of stuff. In my world, I see there's sort of 3 phases to my kids. And it's where their thinking comes from. The first phase of life, someone from 0 to about 10, their thinking is what you tell them to think. Their thinking is you. Whatever you think, they think, sort of thing. It's they're learning the world from the adults around them and how the adults perceive the world. And thus, your thinking really becomes their thinking. 10 through 20, somewhere in that bracket, they go into the phase of how much their friends think. Because the first phase is what you think of them. Phase 2 is what do their friends think of them. And then phase 3 is what do they think of them. So it's going from that child to an adolescent to an adult. And when we're looking at the child, it's really saying, okay, as my child, they're worried about what I think. Up until somewhere around age 10, maybe 12, 13, if you could extend it a little bit. But a lot of the time it's about what do my parents think. From that teenage period of what do my friends think, and this is where a lot of parents struggle. It's like, hang on, they're going against what I think now. They don't care what I think. Now they think they're worried about what their friends think. Yes. That's part of their growth and development. They have to worry about what their friends think and what their teachers think and their other people in their life, but mostly their friends. They're going from what do the adults think to what are my friends thinking. And then our job as parents is to move them as quickly as possible into the what do you think type thing. What are your opinions? How do you become an adult? Well, really having your own opinions is that adult phase. And that's where, you know, you end up being that sort of counselor and consultant, moving them through the phase of worrying about what everybody else thinks into the adult phase of what do I think? What are my opinions of the world? How do I see the world working? You know, ultimately, you get to choose. And all the studies show there's 4 major types of parenting. I've seen some that go into 10 and 15. It's like, okay, hang on. They're just iterations of the 4 major types. The first is the authoritarian parent, and they're the sort of the punishment is the thing. The discipline and punishment is more of their way of parenting, and you'll stay in line because I said so type thing is one of the favorite lines of the authoritarian parent. And I know for me, I've been a bit of the authoritarian because I know that's how I was raised type thing, but second type of parenting is the permissive, and this is where it's more of an indulgent, kids will be kids type mentality, and whatever they do, that they'll grow up in that way, and you know, allow them to learn on their own 2 feet and that sort of thing. Again, there's times when I am the permissive parent, and sometimes with 5 kids, it's just because I'm dang tired, and my wife is the same. It's like, okay. And again, we probably all have all 4 types within us, but one of them is probably going to be your major mode of parenting. Number 3 is the uninvolved parent. This is where there's very little guidance and very little interaction or attention given to the children. Now, this is done through either choice of, you know, I want to let them grow up and be their own person and find their own way, or in the negative case, it's done through neglect. Obviously, if it's done through neglect, that's not anywhere in any way, shape, or form a good parenting style. But The uninvolved is, again, it's a style that is chosen by some people because they think they want the kid to grow up the way that the kid wants to grow up, not the way they have to. And then there's the authoritative. This is more the develop rules, nurture the child, reasonable, build a relationship with the child type thing. And this is obviously where a lot of people sort of want to head to, is authoritative. Still hold the rules, and still be strong, but also give the kids enough room within the rules and be reasonable in your application of them so the kids can grow and become good, strong people as well. You know, so each of the types is there. Obviously, and all the books and all the research show that the authoritative is sort of the desired strategy that the teachers come up with. And none of them is right or wrong, other than maybe the neglect of the kid. But, you know, if you start looking at it and start saying to yourself, what type of parent do I want to be? I know there's phases of parenting, and I get to choose what type of parent I want to be. And maybe you want to be a little more authoritarian in the beginning and a little more permissive as they get older. Maybe the authoritative in the middle where you're putting the rules down and enforcing the rules type thing. But it's a matter of you deciding what you think is best for your kids. But to do that, we got to learn what other options are there available. I'm going to give you, I got 33 tips on being a great parent. So I'm going to grab a seat and go through my 33 tips of being a great parent. Not saying I'm always a great parent. I know one day some of my kids are going to watch this video and go, Dad, come on, you didn't do that with us all the time. You are correct. Dad is human, and, you know, that's just the way the world works. So, the most important thing, and I think if I ever write a book on parenting, it'll be titled this, Kids Spell Love, T-I-M-E. Kids Spell Love, T-I-M-E. The more time you invest with the kids, the better the kids end up. There is no two ways about it that investing time with your children is important. Playing games with them, reading to them, working with them, having fun. You know, even if it's just a simple thing of hanging out with them type thing, eating meals with them, I think it's a vital. There was a great study done recently. In fact, they turned it into a TV show where literally they took families that were falling apart and they made them eat the evening meal together for 30 days straight. And it was amazing how the family started coming back together. So at least one meal a day together, if possible, preferably more, but at least one meal a day if you can get it together. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. Point number two, you're a parent, not a friend. It's okay to have them as your friends once they're adults, but during the teenage years, you are not their best friend. You are their parent, and you are the one that has to put the laws down and the rules down and enforce those laws and the rules. And, you know, I know with my kids that as much as they rebel against some of the rules, I know they like having that structure and they like having it. And it's really interesting. It shows the kid they are loved that you are willing to enforce the rules in that family. It shows them you're paying attention and you care about them enough to actually do that. Taking a look at points three and four, they almost go together, but they're kind of different. Protection is a major job of a parent. Protect. You know, and if the kids can't make wise decisions, then sometimes you have to make wise decisions for them. Especially as they get a little older and they're learning things and stuff. And it's like, hang on, my job is to protect you, to keep you safe. So, no, I'm not allowing you to go to that party. Or, no, I'm not allowing you to do that. That is not a safe decision. And if you can't make good decisions for yourself, then I'm still your parent. I have to make good decisions for you. Point four, we not only protect but provide. You know, if you are taking on the responsibility of being a parent, then take on the responsibility of provision for that kid to get them the things they need, not the best of everything, but the things they need to get through life and to learn and to grow and to be a good kid, to, you know, the food on the table and the roof over the head and the electricity paid. Do your job. I mean, that's just a simple one. Number five, reading. I think that one of the biggest things you can do with a kid, especially when they're under the age of five, is read. Read, read, and read. It is a very high priority in my life. My wife is a genius at this. She reads to the kids all the time. And I think that I know, having read to the kids for many, many years, that it makes a massive difference in their skills, their learning, their cognitive abilities, all this thing. I think it's very important. Next one, be an example. Okay, being an example to the kids is, you know, there was someone, I just looked at it very, very simple, and you start thinking about, there was a question to someone, you know, how do you get your kids to read so much? Well, you don't sit on your phone in front of the kids all the time. They actually see you reading a book type thing. I think that that's an important aspect of it. They see you eating healthy. They see you doing exercise. They see you doing the life that, you know, you want them to do. So be the example. Don't be the hypocrite. Be the example parent. I think next is be authentic. There's no way to put this other than be yourself. You know, if the way you want to be is different to the parenting of other people, and I know, and I see this all the time, a lot of young people when they're having the first kid, and I said, listen, my advice to you is very, very simple. You're going to get a ton of advice around what to do, how to do it. Everyone's got their opinion on how you should raise your kid. Be you. You know, do you. Don't try and do everybody else. Don't try and change up because of what everybody else says. Do what feels right for you. You know, you're going to get judged one way or the other. So you may as well do what you enjoy and what you think is right rather than worrying about it. Next one, hugs. Kids love hugs. Got to hug. Hug the kids more often than not. Now, as they become teenagers, if you hug them a lot as a kid, they still enjoy being hugged. Not so much in front of their best friends or the new boyfriend, but they still enjoy getting hugs nonetheless. I think that, what are we up to? Number nine, be selfless. Once you're a parent, you come second. There's no other way to put it than that. You come second. You know, other than the fact that I do like when I come home, I hug my wife first and then I hug the kids because I want them to see that dad loves mom and I want them to see an example of a relationship. But ultimately, once the kids are there, it's like you get second choice, dude. There's a reason you're tired the entire time until your kids are about 5 years old. It's because you come second, you know. That's just the way it is. Selfless is parenting. Good parenting. In my thoughts, okay? You may agree or disagree. I'm just giving you my thoughts on what a good parenting strategy looks like, I guess. Next one is connect. You got to connect with your kids. And I don't care how you connect. Find a way to connect. It might be through a sport they enjoy or art that they enjoy or find something that they enjoy and connect with them on it. You know, I sit there and I look at my daughters. They love this game on the virtual reality thing. And I look and I go, oh, my God, I really don't want to play that game. But I play the game because it connects with them. My eldest daughter, every now and again, she finds another game on her iPhone that she loves playing. And she wants to show me the game. And it's like, all right, I'll give this game a shot. But I'll connect with you on something. Find something to connect with each kid on and find it as a part of it. Number 11, schooling. Okay, it's a very interesting part, but you got to help your kids with schooling. Okay, you've got to put in the time, energy, and effort to help your kids with school. A good parent will spend time with the kid on their schooling. It's just part of the job, you know. It's the thing. The kid is going to be worried about school. They're going to be upset. They're going to have pressure. They're going to have all these things. You got to help them out. You just do. And it's even if helping them out is just saying to them, kid, I have no idea about new math, okay? I don't understand new math, but let's Google it together and learn new math. Teach me while you're learning type thing. Finally, point 12 is, oh, my God, you better learn to laugh when you're a parent. You better learn to have a sense of humor. And if you don't have a sense of humor, parenting is going to be real, real struggle. That, you know, when you're sitting there and there's the poopy diaper that the kid knocked over and it's now on your leg and you've just gotten dressed to go out, you better learn to laugh because, that stuff's going to happen. And it's, you know, I don't know. Being a parent is all about having fun with the kids, I think, in a lot of ways. And having a sense of humor is important to that. Okay. So, these next 20 odd points, I think that, and I'm going to go through them fairly quick, but I just think they're just simple little strategies that you can employ when it comes to parenting that makes parenting a little easier for us. You know, oftentimes, like, if I have to discipline my kids, and I just sit there, kid, I hate that you're making me do this, you know? It's a simple strategy where the kid gets to know that I don't like having to discipline you. Please don't do these things that make me discipline you. See, these are just simple little strategies or thoughts that make it better and easier to be a parent. First one of this list, what we do matters, okay? What you do every day matters. What we do as parents matter. You know, it's a long game. It is a long game. It's 20 years of putting in time, energy, and effort to see what the outcome is. It's not 15 years or 14 years. It's 21 years, basically. You can't give up at age 14 and just let them go off on their own. No, you got to get them through to adulthood and get them through to that point where they have their own opinions, thoughts, and they're not going to take the opinions and thoughts of the crazy people out there in the world. Different kids need different parenting. I'm lucky enough to have 5 kids, and I know that my parenting style for each of them has to be different. Different kids need different parenting. Point 3 of this list, be involved. I just sat down and brainstormed this list the other day of what are the things that I think are important to be a great parent. To me, being involved in their life, being involved in it, go to their sports, watch their thing, get involved in their school if you can, whatever way you can. Go and teach at their school if there's a class you can add value in, or coach their team. Be involved in their life. If you're involved before age 12, they'll be involved with you while they're teenagers. Okay. Point 4, and this one strikes me every day, and my wife says it often, you can't love them too much. You cannot overlove a kid. A kid needs as much love. Told their love, shown their love, appreciated, hugged, kid. They need love. They need to be shown it, felt it, all that sort of stuff. And point 5 then is, though, set some rules. Okay? Part of being a loving parent is setting rules. Rules that keep them safe. Rules that keep them successful. Rules that do the things. And I know even when they're especially young and they ask, well, why is that? That's the rule. Not because I said so, because that's the rule. And when they're real young, it's great because that just works. Okay? Because at school they're used to rules and all that sort of stuff. Point 6, be consistent. Consistency is a very big part of parenting. It is, it's easy to gradually become more and more lax. It's better if you can become consistent, stay consistent with the kids. Point 7, avoid harsh disciplines. You know, you're going to have to discipline your kid, but if you read John Gray's work way back in the day when he wrote Children from Heaven, you know, timeouts and these sorts of things are often easier than any form of harsh discipline that people use. Point 8, I've learned this one over the years. Use questions. Question the kid. You know, when the kid makes a choice, it's a bad choice. Don't tell him it's a bad choice. Ask him a question. Hey, kid, was that a good choice or a bad choice? Why was it a bad choice? What would be a better choice? What other choices could you have made that would be better than that choice? You know, using questions to help them make the decisions and learn how to make the decisions, I think, is the thing. And that leads me to the next one. Teach them how to decide things. You know, let them make decisions. Teach them how to decide. Weigh up the pros and cons. Give them decision-making capabilities. Teach them decision-making. As I taught you earlier in 30X, decision-making systems and profiles and strategies, make sure your kids learn how to decide. I think number 10 of this list, explain yourself. Be okay to apologize to your kids. You know, my kid, Dad overreacted. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't have done that or said that. You know, that. Oh, sorry, kid. Dad made the wrong decision. It's okay to do that. Off you go. But explain yourself. Why do it that way? Why is it important? Not just, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that, kid, because that's not safe. And if I ever got it, you know, I wouldn't want to be upset, but it's things happening to you. Giving that explanation makes the kid learn faster. Teach them health and wealth. You know, I cannot be strong enough around learn health yourself so you can teach your kid. Learn wealth yourself so you can teach your kid. Learn success, learn friendship, learn all the things you're learning here on 30X. That's why I love you being here on 30X with me. The more you learn, the more you can teach to those kids, and that's really important stuff. Life skills as well. Teach them life skills, even if they got to go to grandma and grandpa to learn life skills. I know teaching my kid, I remember teaching my kid to change a car tire. You know, you think about it, you've got to teach a kid to do these things. You know, this, they're not going to just learn that naturally. I know when I was a kid, you went to home ec class and shop class. You're right, that stuff doesn't happen as much anymore. So you got to teach them how to sew. You got to teach them how to do these basic things. Give your kids life skills, okay? It's not hard to do, but it takes time, and it's a good connection, and it's a good way of spending time with them. Get help. That would be number 13 on this list. It takes a village. It really does. You know, your neighbors, grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunts. It intrigues me when people with the young kids, and they've never let their kid out of their sight. They won't let them go and stay with grandma or stay with their aunt or uncle. You know, my kids have traveled the world many times over, and I see that their ability to interact with people comes from the fact that they were interacting with people at a very young age, always with different grandparents or aunts or uncles, or in our case, nannies, a lot of the time with the kids that gave them different insight into the world, different people, give them different skills and different ways of relating. And that brings me to the next one, travel. Give them new experiences. And you don't have to travel worldwide. You can just travel the other side of town. You can go and see things, go and visit stuff. But give the kids new experiences. Let them experience multiple sports, multiple cultural events, multiple cultural activities. Let them learn what they want to do in life. Give them, let them try. Don't push them into everything, but let them try everything. I think it's probably a big part of it. 15 is tough, but you got to encourage them to be independent. You know, you don't want to beat the independence out of them. I know when the kids are arguing with me and debating with me and stuff, it's like, you got to love that they got the independence. You got to love that they got that spunk and stuff, but, you know, I got to encourage it. And as much as a parent, it's hard to do sometimes to allow your kid to think for themselves. Sometimes you got to let them do that and let them learn from that. Point 16, treat them with respect. They're a human being. They're not a child. They're not anything. They're a human being. Okay, treat every human being with respect. I don't need to say any more about that than that. Point 17, have patience. Okay, you can be demanding, absolutely. Demand good results at school. Demand that they put their best effort forward. Demand that they give it their all. But you got to have patience with kids. You know, they're not going to get it as fast as you. They're not going to get it as fast as you want them to in many cases. Other things, they'll get faster than you. You know, technology-wise, I know there's certain things my kids get faster than me. But having patience is real important because the patience you show them when they're a kid is the patience they're going to show you when you're old and an invalid and they're going to take care of you, okay? Remember, the parent becomes the child at some point, so take good care of them kids, okay? Because otherwise you got no one to take care of you when you get old. Build a relationship with them and teach them how to build relationships. Build a relationship based on respect, all that stuff. But, you know, ultimately, this person's going to be not just your family, they're going to be your friend. You know, at some point, you're going to do vacations together, and, you know, you want to see all their family and stuff. So build a relationship with them. They're growing up to be grown adults, and you want that relationship with them. Build confidence, and not false confidence, you know. Don't like, oh, wow, you're great, even though they're not good at what it is. If they're not good at it, tell them, kid, you're not good at that. Be honest with your kids. Don't build false confidence. Build confidence, though. When they do something good, give them credit for it. Give them the acknowledgement for it. Point 20, manage technology. So in this day and age, we do have to manage the amount of technology our kids get, be it from TV to phone time, screen time, basically. We do have to manage our kids' technology. And you know, I've got some friends that are on they should never have an iPad, to other friends who are, whatever time they want is fine. They're learning because we did put apps on there. I'm sort of middle of the road with that sort of stuff. You know, a certain number of hours a day of doing stuff that they want to do, fantastic. After that, hey, come hang out with us or go and play or do something else. Simple technique someone taught me many years ago as a parent is curious, not furious. And I think that one stands real strong out there for me is be curious about what's going on in your kid's life, not furious about what they did or didn't do. Next one, flexibility. Got to be flexible to be a great parent. Let me finish up with, I guess, the number one communication tool that I picked it up off a movie one time many years ago, and we do it at dinner every single night with our kids. And I think it's been a real important part of raising good kids. And if you ever get to meet my kids, hopefully you'll recognize that we've done a pretty good job at raising good kids. Not perfect. Not great. It's a pretty good job, I hope. But every night at dinner, we do a simple thing.
That's called low high. What was your low of the day and what was your high of the day? What was the thing that made you upset or sad during the day? And what was the thing that was the greatest part of your day? We do it at dinner every night. We start with the youngest on the family and we move our way right through whoever's oldest at the dinner table. All of our friends who come to dinner do it with us as well. It's called low high. It's what's your low, what's your high of the day. Every now and again, we'll do a five great things just when the mood takes us, when we feel we need more gratitude in our life or, you know, need to recognize ourselves and look at what's great about ourselves. You know, five great things is where you name what's five great things about you. You know, and it's got to be done with people. And it's real interesting to watch people that struggle saying great things about themselves. But you got to build confidence in your kids. And if they're happy to talk about what's great about them, then I think that builds that confidence. Listen, being a parent is not the easiest job in the world. It's good, solid work. However, it's one of the most rewarding jobs in the world. If you do it real well, it's an amazing job. Go back and rewatch this one if you need to. We covered a lot of ground. But that's 30X. Pick a couple of things to practice with your kids.